Well, I remember a time about 4 years ago when it started snowing, and my kids were just looking at the white wonder of snow falling down, and Cora, who was 2 years old at the time, said, "Look, Elsa made it snow." That's back when the movie Frozen was really popular. Viola corrected her and said, "No, God the Father made it snow." And then Caleb, always liking to kind of irritate his sister, says, "No, it was God the Holy Spirit that made him snow." So my kids were locked into a Trinitarian debate about who made it snow. Was it God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, or Elsa the Snow Queen? I have an unorthodox Trinity too. And something that I have a habit of, and I always check for my keys, my wallet, and my phone. Everywhere I touch my pockets a lot, and I want to check and make sure that I have them. Because if I lose one of those three items, I start to panic. And it's hard for me to concentrate on anything else until I find whatever is missing. Earlier this year, I was in the office working on this sermon, and I did my familiar Trinitarian check, and I realized my wallet was missing. So I figured I'd probably put it somewhere, but I turned everything upside down. I was looking, and I knew that I had been to Subway earlier that morning, and I called Subway to see if maybe I lost it there. And when they didn't have it, and I checked every other place I'd been, I was starting to get really anxious and thinking, retracing my steps and trying to figure out what to do next. And then I received a call from Jenny. And Jenny said, "Hey, are you missing your wallet?" I was like, "Oh, good, I left it at home." But then I thought, you know, I couldn't have had it at home. I was at Subway this morning and I paid for my sandwich. I'm not a thief, I promise. And so I'm like, "How did you know?" She's like, "Oh, a guy from Milto Cleaners just brought it over. There's a Milto cleaner that's over there next to the Subway, and he saw it in the parking lot and looked at my ID and took it straight to my house." And so Jenny got it. God bless Milto Cleaner. They get a free commercial this morning. Right? Good people there. So I don't know if you're like me at all, and maybe you worry about losing something like keys, wallet, purse, cell phone, and you get frantic until you find it. But all of us are worried about losing something or missing something. For us adults, all of us, if maybe we're not worried right now, but all of us have had that experience of being afraid that we'll run out of money. We're worried, those of us who are maybe in retirement, will this last? If we have maybe some medical bills, is what I have, is it going to be able to last? Will I be able to pay my bills? I feel like I'm running out of money, and we worry about that. Now, hopefully you kids don't, because God's got all this. But as adults, and we have these worries about not having enough and running out. Well, things haven't changed a whole lot over the centuries, because Jesus, when he spoke the Sermon on the Mount, was talking to people who were afraid of not having enough too, running out of what they had, even taking care of some of their basic necessities. So we're going to look at this passage where Jesus talks to a group of people who had fears like most of us do about not having enough or running out. And he says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Don't worry, right? As I was looking at this and thinking of that advice, don't worry about it, I thought of the song from my childhood. I could hear it, Bobby McFerrin. You know that one? Hear the snap? "Somebody came and took your bed," right? "Don't worry, be happy," right? "The landlord say your rent is late. He might have to litigate." And he laughs about that, right? "Don't worry, be happy." Remember that song? That, we have probably mixed. Some of us love that song. Some of us don't like it. But thinking about that kind of advice, sometimes when somebody says not to worry about it, sometimes it's not helpful, right? Well, it's easy for you to say don't worry about it, but you don't know what it's like to be me. Or maybe sometimes somebody will say that in a condescending way. They're, you're just always worried, and they minimize what your worry's like. So whether the person is maybe flippant, "Oh, don't worry about it, everything's going to work out." No, you don't understand. But sometimes when people say, don't worry, it can be not helpful. And maybe sometimes it can. And thinking about the crowd that Jesus was talking to here, there were a lot of people that legitimately had to worry about whether or not they were going to have enough to eat and whether they were going to have enough. They were dependent. They may have had times when they had to go without meals and they knew what worry was. And so I think as we're wondering about Jesus' tone here, I don't think Jesus has the tone of condescension. I don't think Jesus' tone is that of one who's not compassionate or doesn't understand the needs. But Jesus, I think, is getting ready to give some real comfort to us. So let's look at next. Next it says in Matthew 6:26, he says, look at the birds of the air. And I think with his crowd that he had, this was outside. It wasn't in a church building. It was outdoors. But probably it was literally, look, there are probably birds flying around. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Jesus is pointing to the birds and thinking about how they are fed by God in a mysterious way. And I think one of the things that he's trying to communicate here is that everything is going to be all right. Sometimes that's just really good to hear. Sometimes we need that. Somebody who's reassuring, maybe who seems confident in our future or confident about what's going on, and we just seem like we can trust that person. But for somebody like that to say, hey, I know it's hard, but everything is going to be all right. Look at the birds. God takes care of them. Joyce Meyer says that worry is like a down payment on a problem you may never have. Worry, as we think about what worry is, it's most of the time it's future oriented. We worry that we're not going to have enough sometime in the future. About even Jesus, don't worry about what you will eat, what you will wear, what you will drink in the future. Future is our worry is future oriented. And as Joyce Meyer says, it's like putting on a down payment on a problem you may never have. Now, you might need to worry about it later. Your worries may come true and they may not come true. But Jesus is saying in Matthew 6:27, he says, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? So worry, as we know, it doesn't add to our span of life, but can it subtract? I mean, it seems like it, right? What good does worry do? Okay, so we're going to move on to Matthew 6:28. And Jesus says, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, pretty much all of us have gone through hard times, and we're in the moment. It seems like we got good reasons to worry. Maybe we didn't have quite enough. We missed a meal. We were struggling. But those, as we have experienced, they don't last. That they do, those problems come and they can pass. And here, we're thinking about ending. Orson Welles, the actor, once made the comment, if you want to have a happy ending, that depends, of course, on where you stop your story. For many of us right now, if our story just stopped right now, it would not be a happy ending. We're at various places. Maybe some of us, if we stopped it right now, would be happy. But he's got a real great point about perspective. Sometimes it seems like it's over and it's not over. And whether we fear what the ending is going to be. The other day at the bus stop, me and some of the kids, we're looking at a little caterpillar. And my son Caleb made the observation that the caterpillar makes him think of the gospel story. He makes him think of God. And he talked about how Jesus, when he died, it was like the caterpillar going into the cocoon. It seemed over, but then he became a butterfly. You've probably heard that before, but when I asked Caleb for permission to share that illustration that he shared with me, he said that it was okay on one condition. And that condition is that I have to share his motto with all of you. So Caleb's motto, which actually happens to go with this illustration well, is after the end comes a new beginning. Okay. After the end comes a new beginning. Isn't that the message of the cross? Why that symbol of the cross is just so precious to us who believe in Jesus, that it looked like the end, but really it's a symbol of new beginning. Jesus, Paul wrote, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. So the cross is painful. And if the story of Jesus ends at the cross, if that's the end of the story, it's a tragedy. But the cross is not the end of the story. The gospel says that in the end, everything is going to work out. If it's not working out, it's not the end. Let's move on to what Jesus says. He says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. I've heard like sermons or maybe read books where a preacher will say something like, worry is a sin. And then those of us who worry, the effect is then we start to worry that we're sinning, right? So we double sin. Like, oh, I can't worry, but I'm so worried and I can't help it. And now I'm worried not just about my problem, but that I'm a sinner. So worry, is worry a sin? I don't think that worrying is a sin, necessarily. Worry, a lot of times, just shows that we care. If something bad's going on, if something happens to your family and you worry, it's because you care about that person. So if you worry, if you are worried, don't worry about it, okay? Don't worry about it. We're not trying to add guilt or put more pressure on you not to worry. But what is Jesus trying to communicate here? Instead of being anxious, Jesus said this, that there's an option. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When we're anxious about how something is going to turn out. We're anxious about the future. And we're worried not just because we're bad people who are sinners or, you know, there's something flawed about us, but worry, anxiety, is really a cue. It's like a reminder that we can trust. It's a reminder that we need God. It's a reminder that we're not in control of a lot of things. Because, you know, we worry, I worry about things that are way outside of my control. I worry about how somebody's going to react. Well, I have no control over that. I worry about how the economy's, I have no control over that. We can worry about a lot of things and we have no control over it. And worry, that anxiety, can be a reminder to us that we need God. We need help. And that we can trust in the character of God, that God is good. And that he will take care of us as we seek him. Peter was one of the guys in the audience. He was Jesus' right-hand man. And I imagine that several years later, Peter reflected a lot on what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. And I think he had those words on his mind when he wrote this. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. There's a lot of stuff we can't control. The birds can't control getting their food. The flowers can't control anything, but God takes care of it all. And we need to let it remind us to humble ourselves, that we're dependent on others, that we're dependent on God, that we need help, and that he cares. It's the other thing that Jesus says, that God cares about the birds, and he cares about the fields, and he cares about you way more than the birds, so that we can cast our anxieties on him because he cares for us. I think this is Peter's reflection on what Jesus is saying here about don't be anxious. There, Peter's acknowledging that we have anxieties. We do, and we can cast them. He's a fisherman. He knew about casting. We can do something with our anxieties. We can throw it to Jesus. You're still counting, aren't you? You got the tallies going on. Good. And that Jesus cares. So if he cares about the birds and the flowers, he cares about you. I also love what David wrote in the psalm. Now, David was the guy we think of for courage. He was the guy that as a young man went out and faced Goliath the giant. He was the only one that had the courage to do that. And David wrote this, "When I am afraid." The giant slayer was afraid sometimes. Isn't that interesting? When I am afraid. It's not because he was sinning or off, but fear and anxiety is part of the human experience. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Fear for David was a reminder to trust God, that he couldn't control all the outcomes. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, always weighs in too, and it fits so well with what Jesus had to say. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, would Paul have to say this if we weren't anxious? No. No, of course we have anxieties. We're humans. But do not be anxious. Be comforted. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. For Paul, again, anxiety was a reminder that we could seek God, that we could pray and trust him and be grateful. So, what can we do with this? As humans, we do get anxious. Some of us are wired to be more anxious than others, and we shouldn't feel bad about that. We're wired differently. Some of us are just more sensitive to stimulation and just more prone to worry. But let's let anxiety be a reminder that we need God when we're afraid, when we're anxious. Let's let it be a reminder to trust God, to seek him. So the application for this week, because the future forecast calls for trouble. Rainy days are coming. Storms are coming in the future sometime. When those things happen and when we feel anxious, let's let it be a reminder just to throw our hands up, right? When we're anxious, we can just throw our hands up and we can be overwhelmed and feel more and more anxious. But let's let, as we throw our hands up, let's let that be a reminder to say, I can't control this. God, I seek you. God, I trust you. So that let the open, the throwing the hands up, let that be a reminder. When anxiety comes, let it just be a reminder to seek. Let it be a reminder to trust, to seek God who we can trust, who says, in the end, it's all going to work out for those who seek me. If we throw our hands up and trust God, that anxiety probably won't leave immediately, but it will dissipate quicker than if we stew on it. Let anxiety be a reminder to seek God and to trust. I love what Jesus says next. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Again, trouble's coming. Tomorrow's going to have some things that are difficult too, just like today. And I'm going to give you enough grace for today. So don't worry about what's going to happen in the future. Focus on today. It's going to take care of itself. God is present in the present. And when we worry so much about the future, we can miss him, his presence in the presence. So in our anxieties right now, let's seek him. Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Troubles are difficult enough one day at a time, but as we learn to daily trust God, the one who feeds the birds and clothes the flowers, as we learn to do that, we see more and more that everything's going to work out in the end. We see that the cocoon is not the end for the caterpillar. We see that the cross is not the end for Jesus. And we see that pain, trouble, and death is not the end for any of us. You pray with us. Heavenly Father, you are all-powerful and all-knowing and all-loving. You take care of birds and flowers and us. And we want to be thankful. And we want to marvel at what you do in nature and what you do with people. Sometimes we worry that we are not going to have enough. But when we are afraid, help us to trust in you. When we are anxious, remind us to seek you. Remind us to pray this day for our daily bread. Help us to trust. Please strengthen our faith and use us to be a comfort to those who are anxious. In Jesus' name, amen.